Welcome to the Making Connections podcast with your host, Spencer Raposo. This podcast was made to interview current registered kinesiologists in Ontario and talk to them about what they do and where they see the future of the profession going. The goal of the podcast is to get a conversation going about kinesiology as a regulated health profession in Ontario. Each episode, we will bring on a new guest with loads of experience as an RKIN that will share their story and any advice for any new RKINs and kinesiology students about current opportunities in the field. In this episode, I interview Katie Fair, a registered kinesiologist in the community with ARTSC. ARTSC, or Adult Recreation Therapy Center, is a day program for adults and people with health concerns that includes therapeutic activities for people with various physical challenges, the frail, socially isolated, and those with early stage Alzheimer's or dementia in a group setting. Her experience began in her youth with horses and interest in how they move. After being told she wasn't smart enough to go into kinesiology and a volunteer experience because of her uncle, she has now been an RKIN for 6 years. Tune in to hear about all the awesome community programs Katie's involved in and her thoughts about more care in the community. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
How's it going today?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. So what I wanted to do was just introduce you and thank you for coming on to the podcast today. I'm really excited for this episode. I know from our last conversation, you're super knowledgeable and know lots about your kind of area. And I'm excited for everyone to kind of listen.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So let's kind of get this conversation started and kind of let you start with kind of letting the listeners know how long you've been in RKIN, and you can even say where you graduated from, and then kind of starting from the beginning, let us know about your background story, your trials and tribulations, and how you got to where you are now.
Sure, great. So I graduated from Wilfrid Laurier University in 2011 and started volunteering that fall and working in 2012, so before KINS became registered. I wrote my exam and registered in 2014. And kind of my background, I became interested in human movement and anatomy, starting with horses. So I've grown up around horses and always kind of found learning the horse anatomy and health interesting and important. And as a rider, I learned a lot about my biomechanics. And that's kind of what started me on this adventure into kinesiology. And then in high school, because of that interest, I did a health science magnet course and an exercise science. So the health science magnet course allowed me to job shadow various healthcare professionals in the community. And I was placed with an occupational therapist in a hospital and really developed an interest and enjoyed the practical application of how an OT improved ADL, activities of daily living function. And then I was led into kinesiology by a family friend because I really wasn't sure what to do. And her background was in health sciences and career counseling. So when I approached my guidance counselor in high school that I was interested in kinesiology after speaking with the family friend, they told me that I would never be successful in kinesiology in university because my math grades weren't that great. They told me to look into other avenues because they didn't think I would get accepted.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I applied to Laurier to their Bachelor of Arts in Kinesiology. And that's what I graduated with, was a Bachelor of Arts in Kinesiology and Physical Education. Because I kind of felt a little discouraged, but I wanted to set myself up for success. So I was still required to do all of the stats and the math and kin courses like biomechanics, but it enabled me to skip calculus. And then one of the biggest appeals for me at that point, starting into my kinesiology education, was that I would be able to come out of the program with hands-on skills and a professional degree with lots of room for growth and then further education, whether that be postgraduate work or certificate. So it left a lot of room for a lot of different options. And then throughout my university career, I worked at two children's camps for kids with varying disabilities. And one was like a Northern Ontario kind of camp. And then the other one was a local children's therapy center. And so I worked both in a recreation capacity, but with kids with varying degrees of disabilities, from learning disabilities to complex cerebral palsy. So then when I graduated, actually, I ended up taking a job out west and injured myself. So I spent this summer not doing a whole lot. I had some pretty painful back injuries. So I had lots of time to try and reflect and decide what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So
I knew as soon as I was done recuperating, I wanted to start building my hands-on skills and keeping up and staying in the industry. So around that time, my uncle had a stroke and was encouraged to attend an adult day program. So he went, didn't really feel it was the right fit for him, but through his experience and speaking with my aunt, I was able to connect with them and start volunteering. So that was my first experience with my current employer, the Adult Recreation Therapy Center. So I volunteered with the recreation staff and the kinesiologist at the time. And was asked to become a casual staff so I could provide coverage and assist in recreation programs. I helped out in our aphasia speech program, as well as in the exercise department. And the current exercise staff at that point, Jan, was developing a community exercise program called Safe Zone, which we're still operating and Jan is still coordinating. So I was hired on for a one-year contract to work as the kinesiologist in the day center. So the Safe Zone program is a free exercise class in the community with a falls prevention intent for community dwelling older adults in various locations across Brant. So I had the opportunity or have had the opportunity to teach a few classes with them as well.
Nice.
And it's a great program and continues to thrive. So it's another aspect of the day program I was able to kind of see and experience, which was my goal with that one-year contract, was to try and experience as much as I can in case the opportunity didn't continue. So I continue to work as a kinesiologist for the day program. I was hired on full-time permanent, and I interact with approximately 90% of the clients who attend the day program in an exercise capacity. So ARTSY is an adult day program. We are a nonprofit organization. We have recreation therapists, speech pathologists, and we bring in a social worker, and we bring in other professionals like foot care nurses and hairdressers. And we have support meetings, and we bring in all kinds of different organizations to run programs. The Alzheimer's Society has been involved, the MS Society. We have a stroke recovery group and a brain injury support group. So we're kind of a community hub. We're trying to build a community hub in the Brant County area to enable everybody to come in and kind of be a one-stop shop for service if they need it. So our clients have access to multiple things and we can meet many of their needs in one spot. So the clients that I see are all community dwelling. So they live in either a retirement setting, a group home, or in their own homes. They attend the day program for many reasons. It could be caregiver respite. It could be to participate in exercise. That we have, like I said, we have recreation therapists. So it could be the socialization and cognitive stimulation as well. But they have access to all of these things when they attend. So the clients that I see are part of the day program. So we get referrals from a variety of sources in the community. And as I've been the kinesiologist, I've been able to develop connections with many occupational therapists and physiotherapists in the community and in the hospital, that once they're done with their patients, so many weeks of rehab, they if they're appropriate for the day program, they can transition into the day program and I can help continue with their exercise program.
Mm-hmm.
So in my day-to-day, I run a chair exercise class, and then work with clients in a small group or individual capacity. I have new step bikes, parallel bars, physio stairs, TheraBands, weights, some small OT tools, grasping tools,
mm-hmm.
and a variety of different exercise equipment. And I work through a number of clients' exercise programs and assist them through their home therapy programs as well. Other roles are that I have in the day program. I've run a Parkinson's specific group with a recreation therapist. We've had an exercise social work and a recreation component. We've seen an increase in Parkinson's clients in our day program. So that's kind of how that group had started. I've been a part mm-hmm. of the stroke recovery group and the brain injury group offering exercises to those clients who attend and community members. And I participate in student education. So personally, I've received supervised students from Mohawk College in various high schools and W. Ross as well, which is a school in Brantford for students who are visually impaired and blind. And that experience with those students coming in and doing their placements with me kind of expanded my interest with that school. So I've mm-hmm. had experience volunteering with a variety of tournaments and with the Para Pan Am Games in Ontario with a school mm-hmm. called Goalball.
Yeah, this is interesting. After you told me about this last time, I never knew what Goalball was. But yeah, if you want to let everyone kind of know who doesn't know what Goalball is.
Sure. So Goalball is, there's a ball about the size of a basketball and it has bells in it. And then there's three athletes on either end of the court and everybody is blindfolded. And then in higher level competition, their eyes are actually patched underneath the blindfolds as well. So they can't see through the blindfold. So because there's so many varying levels of visual impairment, it makes mm-hmm. everybody equal. So there's two like indoor soccer nets on each end of the gym. And the goal of Goalball is to throw the ball to the opposing net and get it in. And the athletes, it's incredible how fast the ball is thrown and they take hits all over their body.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It's watching the Para Pan Am game competition with athletes from all over North and South America was an absolutely incredible experience to watch them. And the unity and camaraderie of the sport as well is huge. So I've mm-hmm. had the opportunity to help in tournaments and I've been able to try it as well. And it's as a sighted person, trying to put a blindfold on and do that, you really realize how much as a sighted person we rely on that sense. So,
I couldn't imagine having to do that.
Yeah, it was an absolutely incredible experience. So from there, I've been able to become employed with W. Ross in a short-term placement program. So once a month on weekends, they do a small camp for kids who are blind throughout Ontario or visually impaired, and they provide students with a safe and supportive place to explore their independence and practice their life skills. So there's usually a theme to the weekend. So it could be art and music, it could be cooking, it could be sports. So I've just recently started that. And being a part of that team has been an incredible learning experience because it's, again, working with that ADL and skill building that way. So it's been very
cool. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. I remember when our conversation from before, like you are very knowledgeable in terms of in explaining what you do, and you do a lot of different roles as a registered kinesiologist, and that was one thing that was definitely stand out for me when I was looking at people for this podcast, was to kind of get someone in that's more in this kind of more community setting, that maybe it's not a clinic or a gym, but looking at helping with adult programs. And that was one thing that you said you reached out, was that your role is very unique in terms of you don't really know of any other kinesiologists that kind of do similar kind of jobs or roles in the community.
Yeah, especially in adult day programs. There's a huge window of opportunity there.
No, for sure. And that's definitely something that I wanted to kind of expose to any of the listeners that, yeah, that is a potential place that you can see a kinesiologist kind of working.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the other experiences that I've recently taken on is with Rock Steady Boxing. So when I was doing my research to start my Parkinson's support group with my peers, there was a lot of information coming up about the benefits of boxing for people with Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. So I've done fitness boxing classes, and it's always been something that I've thoroughly enjoyed. So I kind of grasped on to that. So when I was looking up Rock Steady Boxing, there at that time, a couple years ago, there wasn't a Rock Steady Boxing program near Brantford. But I've kind of always kept looking because I think it's such a cool venture. And I don't have the gym space and or the boxing equipment needed to run it. And coincidentally, right behind the day program, Bell City Boxing opened up in Brantford. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just took a walk over one afternoon and found out they were like a 3-minute walk from where I work. So mm-hmm. I was able to get the contact information and contacted the club. So I've met with Jamie, the club president, and two former boxers who are also coaches, Jack and Bill, and kind of just said, how can I help? I'd love to help. And they welcomed me with open arms, and it's been such a positive learning experience. So in that program, I've kind of been leading the warm-up, doing some balance exercises and resistance training. And then mm-hmm. Jack and Bill take over the boxing part of it. And I act as a corner person if I need it or hold pads. But it's incredible to see. It just started in November, but it's been incredible to see the group and how they've already formed bonds and to see the skills that they've developed and just how boxing and rhythm and how their symptoms change. And you can see the tremors decrease just within mm-hmm. an hour and a half. So it's absolutely incredible. So from kind of the cool thing from there is I was asked to speak at a Parkinson's conference this spring and demonstrate the boxing part of my experience with Parkinson's. However, this uh-huh. was canceled because of the COVID-19 situation, but I was looking forward to doing that. So you kind of know where your opportunities are going to arise from.
Yeah. And that's one thing that's awesome with you is you have all these different experiences that kind of you can use your knowledge as a kinesiologist in all these different areas and kind of help and affect all these people. And next thing I wanted to kind of go through was now that we've kind of gone through kind of how you got to where you are and kind of the different things that you do in your role as a kinesiologist, I wanted you to kind of have this chance now to kind of talk about your overall experience as a kinesiologist in your current role and in your past roles as well.
I think with kinesiology being a growing profession and newly regulated, we've all probably experienced some struggles as far as awareness and scope of practice. So I think it's important for all of us to take a strong advocacy role and kind of explain like what we're able to do and show off our skill sets. And I think every kinesiologist has a different unique skill set because of what we do and the broad spectrum of the profession. So I mm-hmm. think I don't think going into this profession, I was aware of how much I was going to have to promote and advocate for my own skill set. Kind of mm-hmm. there's been situations where I felt like I've actually had to prove myself that I am competent and capable to do what I do as a consultant.
Yes.
And that's mm-hmm. both frustrating, but it's also kind of empowering when you come out at the successful end of that.
No, for sure. That's definitely something that is fairly common with all the sort of guests on here, that it's not a role that maybe necessarily you come out of school in that kind of full-time job positions there and you kind of know what you're doing, because the profession and the description of it is very broad in terms of it. For one, some people may take it as a negative where it's kind of like, I don't know what to do. But also, I always encourage people when we talk about how positive that is, that you can kind of use your skills in so many different areas. And it's reflected on the different guests here showing the different uses with an RKIN or kinesiologist. And so I think, yeah, having that going into it, knowing that, yeah, I'm not going to have one specific role or job that, like you said, it's discouraging maybe for some, but it can be very empowering once you kind of settle in with kind of your niche or the kind of group or type of people that you do want to work with.
Yeah, it makes it a little more exciting. And it, I think it keeps the, because of the variety of the options you can do. And I think as my skills and I've had my personal and professional growth, there are more opportunities out there in kind of unique positions and with different people who really appreciate what you have to offer because of that wide variety of your possible skills and your knowledge.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I've had chats with, and I'm sure we'll get into it in the next part a little bit more about the future, where that's going. But having people labeled as registered kinesiologists in their job titles, or that it's a requirement for a position, will be really important for people to see that this is now a requirement, not something that is like good to have.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah, so we'll kind of get into that kind of next part that we'll kind of talk, and I'll let you kind of take the floor to kind of talk about kind of your idea about where you kind of see the future of the profession going, and then we'll get into a little bit of a discussion there in terms of what we both sort of
think. Sure, absolutely. So I put some thought into this kind of, and because I'm in the community, that's where my kind of perspective lies. So I think really, with the shortages in the healthcare system and the increasing aging population, the healthcare system hospitals are feeling more of a burden. So I think what's going to have to I think it's going to have to happen is care is going to have to be moved into the community. So acute care will remain in hospital, but I think you'll see shorter hospital stays and people moved into either like a community rehab facility, or they'll do their inpatient and then they'll move to outpatient therapy a little bit more quickly. So I know in Brantford, we have a traveling stroke team, and their clients, depending on their eligibility, can have some of their treatment done in home if transportation or location is an issue. So I think we're going to start seeing more of that. For a variety of populations, with even post-hospital and clinical rehab, using programs such as ARTSY or other day programs for maintenance. So trying to decline the risk of falls even further by people keeping up with kind of a therapeutic exercise program targeted to what their health issue was, whether that's stroke or Parkinson's or hip replacements or orthopedic. And I kind of would like to see more home therapy as well. I believe you would get better adherence. It's easier for people with chronic health issues and injuries to have a therapist, a kinesiologist, come into the home to do their exercises with them, especially people who live in rural areas where transportation is harder outside of even just the city limits. So, and I think by having somebody come into the home, you would decrease the caregiver burden as well. So if you can decrease the caregiver burden and increase the mobility and ADL performance and independence and keep people in their homes longer, then you're also going to decrease the burden and the amount of people that are going into long-term care facilities as well. So with that being said, I think we need to start looking at prevention and look at those caregivers and offer opportunities for exercise to keep themselves well, and discuss more opportunities for prevention, especially with our aging population and older adults. And I think that's one thing ARTSY does well with Safe Zone, is we have a lot of people who are still independent in their homes attending Safe Zone to maintain and improve their health And then if there is an issue, they can transition to me into the adult day program. And I think with that being said, we need to build the connectivity within our community. We need to talk to people better and patients and clients better about what opportunities there are after their inpatient rehab and after their outpatient rehab. What opportunities are there? Because it's a huge loss when one, socially, if you're isolated and you're used to going to see your physio 2 or 3 days a week or your kinesiologist in hospital two or three days a week, then all of a sudden you're not doing that. You don't have that social connection and you don't have that, you might not stay so strictly adhered to your exercise program. So I think there's a lot of gaps in our system and we really need to work on becoming a better, better connected and utilizing all of our resources better within our professional network.
No, for sure. And that's another thing too, that's kind of a common theme with discussion with different people about the future about kinesiology is looking at more preventative kind of measures rather than reactive. So an example, perfect example is those individuals that are independent at home, but are still attending Safe Zone. So then they do not become like a person that goes to the hospital because of a fall, looking at more prevention to kind of keep up their health and their current mobility. And that's one thing that I think people in like the world generally has a better idea about that. Like there is opportunity for kinesiologists to kind of be the leader in this space of looking at, okay, like we know that this is very common. We can start to do some things to prevent it and start to take care of your health now before it gets to the point that it's more reaction that you go to the hospital and you have all these different kind of programs happen. So I definitely agree with you in terms of a lot of that care to be kind of more community-based and kind of preventative rather than kind of just pushing it all to see what happens and figuring it out after.
I find as well, like the baby boomer population seeks out information. They want information, they want education, and they want service. So I think that's a whole other role kinesiologists can take is educating that population about health issues. Even when I have clients come in and I speak to their caregivers, they often have these diagnoses that they don't understand. They weren't explained the benefits of exercise. They don't understand why taking their medication at the same time is so important. They don't understand maybe why that happened to them or have had different experiences with the health or the diagnosis that they have, and they just don't understand why it's happening and nobody is giving them that information. So I think educating, using our background to educate people about their health conditions as well as that prevention, whether it's falls prevention. Canada has a falls report that they put out every, I believe it's 5 years, and do a survey across Canada and assess the risk of falls in seniors as well as kind of target the different risk factors. And if we can provide that information to caregivers who are looking after their loved ones, that may help to decrease the burden and the falls as well. And I think education, both from a reactive and proactive standpoint for everybody involved in that situation is huge.
No. Yeah, and I definitely agree with that there. Like, education is very, very important. And, like, the role of a kinesiologist, they can definitely, they have that education for the most part. Obviously, you will learn more as you become more specialized and have more experience. But kind of the general knowledge of the human body is probably sometimes even enough for the general population who has no idea, right? So not saying every kinesiologist is an expert, but saying that they do have that knowledge to kind of help benefit most people.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. So how I wanted to kind of finish off this last section of the kind of interview here was if you had any or if you have any advice for any maybe kinesiology students that are kind of listening, kind of not sure what they're going to do when they're kind of done school, or any new RKINs that maybe just passed the exam and are kind of looking at kind of potential opportunities in the field today. So I'll kind of let you kind of
Sure. I think one of the biggest things that I've learned is the importance of building a rapport with your clients. You need to build trust with them, especially with the population that I work with complex and complex comorbidities. You need to learn the kind of approach that you can take with them. And I think that teaches you how hard you can push to get your results. So some clients, and this I think is goes across the board, that there's you can be loud and pushy and kind of demands more from them. And other ones, you need to take a bit of a softer approach with a lot more positive reinforcement. So that I think is huge. You need to build a rapport with your clients so they trust you, but you need to learn how they work and how you can change your demeanor and how you operate to support them better. As well, too, when I was thinking about this, one of the things I always kind of, I've told a variety of my students, especially the students that come to me from a fitness background with limited experience with older adults, or of different diseases and illnesses, is that with this population, you need to remember that they still have to be able to return to their home and perform all their ADLs and transfer safely. And everything generally with their health probably makes their life a little more challenging. So you can't push them or demand the exercise or exertion from them as we would a younger client in a personal training scenario. That can, one, be a safety risk for them, but as well can really make their life more challenging. A lot of my clients experience pain on a daily basis anyway that they have to cope with. So muscle fatigue and that kind of pain is not going to be beneficial to helping them progress or maintain their status. I also think, especially with this older adult population, and I mean, all of us are kind of coming to this realization now about social isolation. So I think it's a really good time to kind of have that discussion. A lot of us are at home and are so socially isolated because of COVID-19. So it's made me a little more empathetic to what a lot of my clients live with on a daily basis. So when I can try and get clients grouped together or working together who have similar abilities, I do that. It builds friendship. It builds adherence. They start to kind of come together and support each other and are more encouraging. And because of that isolation, creating a kind of a really positive and fun environment and those social opportunities, I think, really helps with adherence as well. So it all comes down to really knowing your clients and their needs outside of their physical goals and their rehabilitation goals.
No, yeah, for sure. In terms of how you kind of spoke at the end there, it's like finding and knowing the client, what will kind of motivate them or get them to do their best or like attend the programs. And I remember I took a class in undergrad. It was more about like health behavior and kind of how to kind of keep people moving. And we talked about like doing it outside or doing it in social settings or doing it with music. And I'm sure you use a lot of different principles there to kind of help different kind of groups of people adhere and kind
absolutely of and then realizing with those clients that their health is complex and their needs change day to day. So what works one day with somebody who has a cognitive impairment may not work another day. Somebody who comes in with Parkinson's and you did a whole bunch of exercise with them and was really successful on Monday, when they return on Thursday, it just might not be that same kind of green light, go for it kind of day. So really informally reassessing your clients all the time, time of day, medication times, all of those things make a huge difference. So really learning your clients that way, so you can kind of help them at their times as well.
Yeah. Especially like in school or in general, when you're in your mind, let's say when you're doing like a personal training client and you're building a program and on this day they have to reach this and they need to take a rest then. But in the real world, more with like a therapeutic population, every single day is different. Yes, you may have goals in mind, but you need to accommodate the person that day when you're seeing them at that time. And that's one thing that I was definitely learned when I started working, was that, yeah, you might have a plan that you chart it on this person to do this thing, but you see them that day and they're just not themselves, or they're still sore because they did a little bit more at home. So you really have to learn to adapt that person in that session based on how they come.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something huge that I've learned, especially with the population and the clients that I work with at Artsy. And I think one of the other biggest things I would share with students too is volunteer and try new things and seek out opportunities. There's lots of unique places that you could, that would use and utilize your assistance as a kin outside of your traditional roles. And it will build your skills and create some new opportunities for personal growth. And then when you find and connect with people, whether they are a registered kinesiologist or they're a physio or whoever they are in the healthcare system or even outside of the healthcare system that interests you, talk to them, ask questions, try and stay in contact, even reach out professionally and just touch base, because you never know what opportunities will come of it. And it also kind of, I don't know, it keeps things interesting for you, and you can build those opportunities to try new things. So even if you're not maybe acting as a kin in a traditional sense, you're still building a lot of different skills.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's exactly what happened with you, right? With the Rocksteady boxing and with like Safe Zone and everything, like the adult rec program that you're in now. It's like, you have to put yourself out there. You have to see what opportunities are available, and sometimes it comes to fruition and positive things. You get a job or they introduce you to someone else. But at the same time too, it may not always lead to something. And then you have to just look back and like, okay, what positives can I take out of this opportunity? That yes, I had this opportunity to work with this sort of population. And now, hey, maybe I know I don't not necessarily work with them. It was a good experience. I gained new skills and more knowledge, but you know what I mean, trying to think about the positives too. And we don't always will get a job out of a volunteer opportunity. And that's where it's like placements in school will help people kind of decide things that they like or don't like.
Yeah, I always try and encourage my students when they're looking at placements in further years, that even if they really enjoyed like the adult day program, to try somewhere new and build their skill set. And you know, a lot of the students, the fitness students I have been in a gym. So they've reached out to me to try something totally different, which is great. And I always try and encourage, you know, if maybe now that you've tried a day program, maybe see what long-term care is like and what opportunities are there. Try something clinical. Mm-hmm. Try different things, because that's how you learn where you fit. And you also learn so many different things as far as handling and how your healthcare system works. And just the more exposure and the more you can learn, I think is the best thing for all of us.
No, 100%. So what I want to do now is kind of wrap it up here and kind of say thanks to you, Katie, for coming onto the show today. You were an amazing guest and so, so knowledgeable and kind of fun to talk to. I know all the listeners will like definitely enjoy listening to this episode, and based on all the things that we did talk about, I'll make sure to link everything that you're doing, whether that's a Rocksteady, Gold Ball, Safe Zone, where you kind of work in the Adult Rec Therapy Center, and Artsy and all that stuff. So again, thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. I had a great time. It was really great to talk to you and be a part of your podcast. Thank you for having me.
No. Yeah, no problem. And thanks. Yeah. Well, thanks for reaching out. You're the one that kind of flagged me to yourself. And I was like, no, you're right. Thanks for kind of reaching out to myself, especially starting this thing. There's so many different people that I can kind of interview and talk to, and I'm glad you've sort of reached out there. So, lastly, I just wanted to say thank you to all the listeners. Thank you for taking your time out today to listen to this full episode. I look forward to releasing more podcast interviews in the near future. If you know of any other registered kinesiologists that would be a great fit for this podcast, you can email at makingconnections@gmail.com. Also, if you have any other comments, questions, or concerns, they can be directed at our LinkedIn or Facebook page, both at Making Connections Podcasts. And like I said before, all the links for everything that we talked about today will be in the show notes. And I hope you have a good rest of your day. Thank you for listening from the Making Connections team. I want to thank everyone for listening today. I really appreciate you taking the time out to listen to the entire full podcast. If you liked what you listened to today and want to hear more, please subscribe to the Making Connections podcast on whichever platform you're listening on now. And remember to like us on Facebook and LinkedIn pages.